Okay, good evening, everyone. We are now continuing our discussion on tefillah and prayer. And tonight's title is Tefillah, an intimate connection with Hashem. And again, most of the thoughts tonight come from Rabbi Yitzchak Kirzner, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha. So we mentioned previously in one of our shiurim how hard it is to concentrate on davening.
I said that.
Right? You said that. How hard it is, as much as you try, you sit there, you sit down, you try to daven, and your mind's not there. It's either on what, and very often it's on, okay, what's happening after davening? What am I eating for breakfast? What's for Kiddush? What do I have to do? What do I have to speak to? It's clearly an issue. Clearly an issue to be able to remain focused and have a meaningful davening. So Rabbi Kirzner points out that what we have to bear in mind, this is an important idea in Yiddishkeit in general, and that is, it's not all or nothing. It's not like if I don't have the whole davening with kavana, if I don't get the entire davening with kavana, then I wasted my time. Or if I didn't get it mostly with kavana, I wasted my time. The Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal. Rabbi Kirzner brings this down, but there's a mashal from the Chafetz Chaim. When the Chafetz Chaim is talking about a person who sometimes in the middle of davening and they realize they haven't been davening with kavana, and now they catch themselves. So what do you do next? So very often, what do? You say, "Ah, I messed up the beginning already. What's the point?" And you go back, and you still could daven, but you go back to what you were thinking about. So the Chafetz Chaim told a story of a woman who was selling apples in the marketplace, and a ganav came by and started stealing the apples. Just went over to the apple stand and started stealing the apples. Okay, and what does the woman do? She's screaming, "My apples, my apples!" Somebody passes by and says, instead of screaming, my apples, grab as many that you could to save them." The Chafetz Chaim said the same thing. You know, even if you've lost a part of your davening because of the fact you didn't have kavana, but don't just let the rest of it go. Save as much as you can, because whatever you can save, you got to save. Whatever you're going to have kavana for is worth it. So it's not an all or nothing thing. Whatever amount of davening that you do with kavana helps. It's worthwhile. You haven't wasted your time. You've davened a little bit with kavana, and hopefully next time it'll be more and a little bit more. It's something to work on. You know, you can't expect to daven the entire davening perfectly. A lot of times what the advice that's given is you, let's say by the Shemona Esrei, pick the first blessing, make a commitment that you're going to daven that with kavana, with intent, with focusing on it. And then the rest of davening, you give it a shot, you try, but whatever doesn't work, you don't shoot yourself in the head for it. You know, you commit yourself to part, and you start there, and you build up step by step. Okay. And Rabbi Kirzner adds a really interesting idea. So it says, we mentioned this before, that the pasuk says, "Ul'avdei b'chol levavchem," to serve Hashem with all your heart. And Chazal and the sages say, what does it mean to serve with your heart? That means prayer. Now the pasuk says, "Ul'avdei b'chol levavchem." We translate that as with all your heart. He points out the word kol can mean everything, as in all. It could also mean any part of a whole thing. Kol means everything, but it can mean everything or every part of something whole. And therefore, according to that, b'chol levavchem doesn't just mean with all your heart, that your whole heart has to be in it, but b'chol levavchem means with any part of your heart. Serve Hashem with any part of your heart. Daven with any part of your heart. Any bit of your heart having kavana is davening and should never be considered any kind of a waste of time. Okay. Now, continuing with the theme that when we daven, we're not just davening for the purpose of getting something from Hashem, but for the purpose of creating a relationship. So Rabbi Kirzner points out that any time we want to develop spiritually, we want to develop as people, we want to develop as servants of Hashem. Anytime we want to grow spiritually, what happens when you grow is that you start from one level of reality and you try to go to a higher level of reality. Now, what he explains it in the following way. You have two people, each one believes in Hashem, but each one believes in Hashem at a different level. There are some people who believe in Hashem when they're having a problem. When everything goes good in their mind, that's them. When all of a sudden they're in trouble and there's nothing you can do, then they turn to Hashem, right? There's no atheist in a foxhole, right? The problem is that until they're in the foxhole, they're an atheist. Once they're in the foxhole, then they become not an atheist. The point is that you have people who, whether they actually believe that way or live that way, that they see Hashem in their lives when there's nothing left that they can do. But outside of that, they don't see Hashem. In their reality, Hashem seems to only play a part when you need something and you can't take care of that need yourself. On a higher level of belief in Hashem, a person understands that nothing in life can happen without Hashem wanting it to happen, without Hashem decreeing it to happen. That person's sense of reality is fuller. That person understands reality the way it should be. The real reality is that Hashem runs everything. And then in everything in life, good, bad, things are working, not working, what I can do, what I can't do, it's all in the hands of Hashem. And that's the true reality. But every person's reality of Hashem's involvement in the world, you know, depending on what level you are, that's the reality that you comprehend. And when you grow, you get a fuller understanding of reality. Your understanding of reality grows. The best way to be able to make something into reality, the best way to grow in reality and a fuller comprehension of reality, is not just by studying a higher level, but rather behaving on that higher level. Because whenever you actually take, if you study something and you have it in your mind, and you say to yourself, I'm going to try to reach this level. Okay, that's a good thing. But when you act upon that, even if you're not fully at that level, but you behave according to that level, that actually brings you closer to that level. Because every act makes what you're thinking, what you know in your mind, more concrete, more real, and it becomes more part of you. So actually, the best way for a person to actually grow and to become and gain a fuller understanding of reality is when they behave according to that level of reality. So Rabbi Kersey gives an example. A person needs to make a living. He needs money. He's got to feed his family, and he's got no money. Somebody comes over to him, offers him a very lucrative business deal. It's going to solve his problems. There's only one problem. It's a dishonest business. It's a dishonest deal. It's not on the level. It's dishonest. And he knows it's dishonest. And he says to himself, you know, he has a challenge. I need money. Where's it going to come from? Here's my chance. But then he says to himself, yeah, but the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world. And if this deal, and if I don't have this deal, another deal will come my way to take care of my needs. Where's it going to come from? Where's this other deal going to come from? I haven't the foggiest idea. But when he goes ahead and he rejects that deal, that means he actually behaves on the level of believing that Hashem, that he doesn't need this to survive. Hashem can take care of him on another in a kosher way, so to speak. Because he behaved according to that level. Again, is he really at that belief that Hashem is going to help me? You know, he may be on some level, but when he acts on that level and behaves according to that level, that actually makes it more real. That makes him more part of him. His belief, he grows in his belief in Hashem more than when he just learns about it and thinks about it and contemplates it. When he actually acts upon it, that is the strongest form of actually making who you are into what you are. Actions always concretize your thoughts and your beliefs, and it becomes more part of you, and that is how you grow in a fuller understanding of reality. So we've got actions that actually, you know, help us grow in our reality. And then, says Rabbi Kersner, we also have tefillah. We also have davening, prayer. Davening also helps us grow in understanding reality in a fuller sense. How does that happen? How does that happen through davening? So he begins like this. There is a discussion. The Rambam talks about it. Other Rishonim talk about it. And that when we talk about Hashem, and we talk about Hashem's essence, Hashem as a being. So Hashem as a being, we have no comprehension of. When you talk about Hashem himself, Hashem in his essence, Hashem in his essence existed before our existence. He's beyond our existence. We see him as something infinite and something we do not have the ability to comprehend because we are finite. But the essence of Hashem existed before he created this world with its limits. Then you have the way Hashem interacts in the world. We have his actions. When it comes to Hashem's actions, that we can comprehend. Because we experience things in this world. We experience the things that he does in this world. And when we experience it according to our human comprehension. And when certain things happen, we say, Hashem dealt kindly with us. Hashem maybe dealt in an angry way with us. Whatever we describe it. We cannot fathom Hashem's essence, but we are able to comprehend his actions, his interactions in the world, according to our way of comprehending, because it's happening within our world. Okay? So we have, so to speak, Hashem's attributes, kindness, power, mercy, and then we have Hashem. When we daven, what are we davening to? We're not davening to his mercy. We're not davening to his kindness. We're not davening to his angels. We're not davening to anything but him himself. Right? That's pashut. That's basic. When you're davening directly to Hashem's essence. Hashem in his essence. But that creates a challenge. Because we're supposed to see ourselves as standing in front of Hashem and communicating with him and talking with him. You know, it's a hard thing to do. Because what am I talking to? Who am I talking to? I'm supposed to imagine this. What am I supposed to imagine? This man with a long white beard, you know, like the way they make these depictions of God, an old man with a long white beard. Is that what we're supposed to think of? Supposed to imagine a person, Chas v'Shalom, that we're davening to? It creates a problem. Here you are, supposed to be seeing yourself standing in the presence of Hashem, but I don't really have a way of comprehending the presence of Hashem. So it's a challenge. So Rabbi Kurzness says something very interesting to explain this. And basically he says, if by davening, the only way we are able to pray, or the only way that we are supposed to connect to Hashem in prayer is with our intellect, then we're not going to get there. But he says, with our heart though, with our emotion, we can get there. Because we know that even when it comes to understanding people, sometimes what the intellect cannot understand about a person, your heart can. It's just that's the way it is. Emotion has the ability to bring us closer to comprehending. We can comprehend through our emotion. And therefore, when we daven and we see ourselves standing in front of Hashem, that's not an intellectual exercise. That's an emotional exercise. When you actually put your heart into it, you put your emotion into it, you connect emotionally with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that's how you feel him. You don't need an intellectual picture and understanding to feel that you're in the presence of Hashem. You can do that with your heart. And if you engage Hashem with your heart, that's how you feel Hashem. And here too, he adds something which is very important. We say it in davening. We say, Karav Hashem l'chol karav, l'chol asher k'ru v'emes. Hashem is close to those who call him. What that means is that again, with our hearts alone, are we able to feel the presence of Hashem? To some degree, perhaps. But basically, we start the process, we connect emotionally to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then he comes and meets us halfway. When we connect with the Ribbono Shel Olam in the proper way, when we try to connect with his presence, he helps us out and he comes forward to us. He helps us realize his presence. He narrows the gap. So any time that you are davening and you're trying to create that connection with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the connection that you're going to have, that connection of standing in front of him and speaking to him, is a connection that's going to happen with your heart. And then he is going to respond and help you feel that he's there. Now, how does that happen? How does he, when we say he responds and you feel, and he helps you feel that he's there, he helps you feel and realize his presence. What does that mean? How does that response work? You might think that that response means that he answers us, right? We come to Ribbono Shel Olam, we pour our heart out to Hashem, right? And he responds back. How does he respond back? By answering our tefillah. Mm. And if he doesn't answer our tefillah, what happens then? Does that mean that we didn't reach the connection? Does that mean we didn't experience him? Does that mean we wasted our time? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. As he says, when we don't daven in order to get what we want, but what we want is the means by which we're able to connect with him. So whether we actually get it or not, and he will get into a discussion of how we should look at why, when we don't get something, how to look at that, how to look at it. But the point is that being that the whole point of the davening is to create the connection, not because we got what we wanted, but because we connected, we communicated. We came before Hashem, we connected to him with our hearts, he connects back. And in that state of a meaningful, sincere davening, you make that connection. That's the goal. The goal is the connection. The goal is not to get what I get. Even if I don't get what I want, I can still make that connection. I can still make that, I make the move to come closer to Hashem, and when we make that move, he comes closer to us. We feel his presence, our reality changes, and that's how we grow. So even if we do not get what we want, at the end of the day, getting what we want is not the goal. Getting what we want is a means to come to the goal of connecting with Hashem. And if you daven sincerely, you've done that, you've accomplished that. Now, if we are to actually, again, develop that connection, develop that communication. So when we stand in front of Hashem and we pour our hearts out to him and we talk to him and we're trying to make that connection, so in many ways, we will make that connection like we make a connection with another person we're talking to, right? Now, when you make a request from another person, right, and you want to get something, you need something from the person. So you know, the mere fact that you actually, let's say, open your heart to someone, open your feelings to someone, and show them that you need them, you know, that makes a connection. But if when you ask for something, and you ask for it in a way that the person you're asking from, like, doesn't really appreciate what you're asking for. So you go over to somebody, you say to somebody, can you lend me $1,000? I need $1,000, really. I really need $1,000. It's hard for me to come to you. I'm coming to you. I feel close to you. Can you lend me $1,000? So what are you going to say?
What do you need it for?
What for? What for? Oh, what for? What for? I need $1,000. Okay. You know, not a good way to make a connection. And guess what? The same way he's not going to respond positively, the lack of his positive response doesn't help you connect with him either. So anytime you really want to communicate properly, you need to communicate in a way that whom you're communicating with, you feel they appreciate what you're asking for and that they could respond to what you're asking for. So when you ask something from the Ribbono Shel Olam, okay, how do you ask to make sure that the Ribbono Shel Olam, so to speak, appreciates what you're asking for? The answer is, as we said last week, you got to ask for the right things for the right purpose. When you're asking for money, what are you asking money for? So you can buy a fancy car, or so that you can sustain your family, when you're asking from the Ribbono Shel Olam, you want to ask in a way that the Ribbono Shel Olam would respond, would appreciate what you're asking for. The same way you're going to ask someone else, or make a request from someone else in a way that person would be willing to respond to your request, The same thing by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. But not because, well, that's the way to get the request so much. But that's also part, it is the way to get the request, but it's also all part of the communication. It's all part of developing that communication with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. That if I really want to communicate and connect, and I want to feel that I've made that connection, so if I ask for it in the way that I feel he appreciates it, then that I'm making that connection a stronger way. I can make that connection stronger. The same way I make a strong connection with another person when I make a request in a way that that person appreciates the request, the same thing by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. And therefore, it's most important that when you're going to go and ask from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for the things that you need, you make sure that you basically say, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, I need this so I can serve you. I need this so I can help people. I need this because through this, I can learn Torah. I can do mitzvahs. And that all adds to that sense of communication and connection that you get with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Now, as we said before, the way that you're going to make a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is the same way a relationship with another person. When you're ready to open up your heart to someone and you're ready actually to ask them for something that you may need, you make a connection, right? You open your heart to someone, you connect with that person. And when you open your heart to someone, that person connects back to you because you've opened their heart to them. That is what happens when we dive into the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. If we are ready to open our hearts to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then we create the connection, and that is what we say, Karev Hashem l'chol karev. Hashem is close to those who call him. If you call him the way you're supposed to call, then he responds. Very often, a lot of times, we don't want to face a certain reality. We don't want to face ourselves. We don't want to face people. And in that situation, we kind of just keep ourselves very busy, and we don't connect. Sometimes a person can get up by davening, make a request, but they don't get emotionally involved because deep down, if I get too emotionally involved, I kind of feel like I'm losing control. Like, I should be able to do this. You know, a person always feels they want to be in charge. A person always feels that they want to be in charge of their life. And even if that, and then sometimes that could even make it hard for them to pour their hearts out to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. A person has to get beyond that, because the more you actually emotionally can connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the more you make that connection for yourself. That's the real way to make the connection, because that's the real way to feel him. And then he responds. And different people react different ways. You know, you see some people davening really, really, really into it, and some people daven a little bit more calm. You know, everybody reacts in a different way. You know, the idea of actually shuckling, right, is actually supposed to help you. On one level, it's supposed to keep you awake, believe it or not. That's what's brought down. Shuckling, according to some, the swaying back and forth that we do was meant to keep you awake. There's other explanations to it. But the point is that very often when you sway back and forth, it gets you into it. It's a kind of exterior act that tries to get you going, tries to awaken your emotion. That's fine. But a lot of times, emotion comes with kind of just humbly standing in front of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You feel you're standing humbly before Hashem, and you just, like, let it out. If you let it out to your father, you let it out to your friend, right? You stand there, and you just let it out. You humble yourself, and you let out your emotion. You know, again, sometimes a person can just be standing very still. It doesn't mean they're not pouring out their heart. But that's the, and every person, and people are, some people are very emotional, some people are less emotional. But whether the emotion, whether you see the emotion or not, whether the person sheds a tear or doesn't shed a tear, that doesn't mean that inside their emotions are actually working the way these person's emotions work. And the emotion is the main way that a person is going to go ahead and connect with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Of course, there's a certain amount of intellect that's involved. But at the same time, to really be able to feel you're in the presence of Hashem, you need your heart. And if you need your heart, it means you need to be able to open your heart and release and allow yourself to open your heart to the Ribbono Shel Olam so you can make that connection. Now, another important thing to bear in mind is if you want to be able to make an emotional connection with another person, right? And you make that connection, and the way to make that connection is by opening up to them. You are only going to open up to a person that you think is interested in your opening up to them. Let's say you want to go ahead and become friends with someone, and you want to create a deep friendship. And how would you do that? Open up to them. But they don't really seem very interested in you. So you're not going to open up to them. Right? You only open up to someone that you feel is, in the very least, interested in you. And if they love you, then you'll really open up to them. Sometimes, when we stand in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam and daven, we ask ourselves, does Hashem really want to hear me? Does Hashem like me? Maybe he doesn't like me, because I haven't been the best person around. We very often, these thoughts go into our minds, like, really, Ribbono Shel Olam wants to hear from me? Does Ribbono Shel Olam really want to hear from me? Does Ribbono Shel Olam want to have a relationship with me? And the answer is emphatically, yes. Emphatically, yes. He emphatically wants. He wants a relationship more than you want a relationship. And there is no situation where a person should think that Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want that relationship. And part of that understanding is in two ways. Number one, one way of understanding of understanding that is that, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world to give. He wants to give to us. And when we ask him for something, and he doesn't give it to us, so we picture that. So in the best scenario, we picture it as, all right, he decided it's not good for us, right? The real way to look at it is there's something before that. Even when he doesn't give us, he really would want to give us. He really would want to give us what we want to make us happy. But he knows better. So even though we're not going to be happy and we can't fully comprehend it, we work on trying to accept that. But essentially, even when the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't give, he really wants to give. And not just because he's giving and you don't get it. He would really want to give you what you want. He really want to make you happy. What? We're not created this. Hashem didn't create us to be sad. He didn't create us to be sad. He created us to give to us. But he created a world that in order to give to us, we have to be deserving of it. It has to fit. And we'll talk about that more soon. Now, Kurza points out something very interesting. Most brachas that we make, it's Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We refer to Hashem in three ways. Hashem, right? Adnei, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Do you ever think about what are all these descriptions? What do they all mean? Why do we need all these descriptions? And he explains really in a beautiful way. First, you start with the word Baruch. Blessed are you. What does that mean? Blessed are you, God. So, many commentaries explain it means, blessed means all blessings come from Him. Hashem is the source of all blessings. You are blessed. When we say to Hashem, you are blessed, it means all the blessings come from you. They're all in you and they come from you. Okay? Blessed, Ata, are you. The source of all blessings are you. Then we have the name of Hashem, right? That name of Hashem is spelled Yud, with a Hey, with a Vav, and a Hey. That's the name. We're not allowed to pronounce it as it's written. We can only pronounce it as if it was written Adnei, our master. But that holy name of Hashem that we cannot pronounce is a name that actually describes Hashem's essence. That is a name that describes Hashem before he created the world. That name, you know, it's interesting. That name also represents the attribute of mercy, but it also represents Hashem's essence even before there was a world. That's Hashem. That's that name. And we have to understand that that's what Hashem's essence is. It's Hashem's essence. It's beyond us. It's abstract. But right after mentioning Hashem as abstract, the next word is Elokeinu, our God. Our God means that same essence of Hashem that we have no comprehension of, Elokeinu, he's our God. He wants to be involved in us. He wants to have a relationship with us. Melech ha'olam, he's king of the world. He created a world to do good with. So whenever you're making a bracha, and you are mentioning the essence of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because you should, we're talking to Hashem's essence. At the same time, we right away remind ourselves, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, Hashem is a God that wants to interact with us and wants a relationship with us. And he created a world to do good with us. That is something that every time we are addressing the Ribbono Shel Olam, that is what we're saying. Or many times, at least, that's what we're saying. And that's just a beautiful way of explaining all the names of Hashem that we say when we make a bracha. Okay, now, we should discuss now how to look at when Hashem does not answer our requests. How do we look at that? So the first question is like this. Really, the question, you have to flip the question on its head. You dive into the Ribbono Shel Olam. If you're not well, Hashem should make you well. Now, we have a rule, whatever Hashem does is for our good. If he made us sick, then it's for our good. So what are you asking him to take away the sickness for? Isn't it for your benefit? He gave it to you for your good. So then what are you saying take it away for? That's a famous, obvious question. There are many answers. Rabbi Kurzer brings the following answer. And the answer that he gives is that, yes, everything Hashem does is for our benefit. But as I said before, Hashem wants to give us things in a way that we should appreciate it. He does not want, he did not create the world for people to walk around suffering and saying, it's all for the best. He really created a world that we should experience and feel the good and be happy. That's what he wants in the world. Okay, that's what he wants. And therefore, you can ask him to change things around. You can ask him to change things because he wants to change things. So you have permission to ask to change. We spoke about previously that when you pray, the way it works is that you elevate yourself and you're not the same person that the bad decree was about, and now Hashem can change the decree. But the point is, the first step is, though, that although we believe everything is for our benefit, we can still ask for things to change because that's really what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. That's what he wants. He really wants to give us something that we can really appreciate and feel good about. So why doesn't he do it? Why are there times that he doesn't do that? So he gives the following parable. Imagine a person has this very delicate, beautiful glass vase, okay? And it's a family heirloom, and he wants to give it to his son. There's one problem. His son's a klutz, okay? He's a klutz. And if he just gives it to him, he knows he's going to break it. So before he gives it to him, what does he do? He basically teaches him how to be able to receive, how to be able to get this thing and to be able to keep it. So the father always wants to give the son this gift, but he's got to make sure that he's going to be able to receive the gift properly. Because if he can't receive the gift properly, it's not going to be for his good. It's going to be a waste. So whenever a person asks for something, okay, and he doesn't get what he wants, the Ribbono Shel Olam can have many reasons why he's not giving it to you. But what our sages teach us is that we have to consider the following. We have to consider what you mentioned last week. You have to consider what I'm asking for. Is it the right thing to ask for? Maybe I'm not asking for the right thing, number one. And number two, maybe I don't deserve it. Maybe the problem is that the reason why he's not giving it to me is because for some reason or another, I don't know how to receive this gift. I don't know how to, if I get this gift, I'm not going to deal with it properly.
It won't be good for you.
It won't be good for you. So these are the things a person has to consider. And again, it's all with the understanding that when I'm asking him to change things, I'm asking to change things because he would want things to change. He doesn't want me to suffer. The good that Hashem created the world to bestow upon people is supposed to be a good that people can feel and appreciate. And when that doesn't happen, that's it. It's really the Rebbe Shlomo wanted to do what we asked for, but he's not giving it to us because of the fact that it's either not the right thing to ask for, or even if it would be the right thing to ask for, we may not have the proper capacity to receive it. And therefore, we have to. And so what's the next step? What's the next step? If this is what you have to consider, what's the next step that comes? Make yourself worthy. Make yourself capable of receiving.
Change.
Say to the Rabbanu Shalalam, if you give me this thing, I'll use it properly. And I commit to using it properly. And you may and you do tshuva. And you change who you are. You make yourself a worthy recipient of Hashem's gift. So the whole process here is a process in which we are essentially, the goal of davening is the goal is to make that relationship, to make that connection. And how are you going to make that connection? You're going to make that connection with your heart, because you can feel Hashem's presence. With your intellect, you're not going to be able to get there. But with your heart, you can start, and then Hashem comes to meet you. And that's the goal, whether you get what you ask for or not. At the same time, the more you open yourself up to Hashem, the more you open your heart to Rabbeinu Shalalam, the better the communication, the deeper the communication, the deeper the connection. If you make sure to ask it in the proper way, in a way that you say that you can feel that Rabbeinu Shalalam would respond, that's again another level of making the connection deeper and better. And when the response doesn't come, when you ask for something and you don't get what you asked for, so number one, again, it's not a waste of time. It's not a waste of time. Number two, you should still be saying to yourself, I know that Rebbeinu Shlomo really would want to give this to me. And that, again, makes you appreciate what kind of giver Hashem is, how much Hashem loves every single person. So again, you want to open your heart to him. And then you contemplate, perhaps the reason I'm not getting this could be because I am not a worthy recipient of it. And I need to make, and therefore I will commit to being a worthy recipient. I'll make myself a worthy recipient so that I should be able to give Hashem the pleasure, so to speak, of being able to give me something that I'll be able to appreciate and feel good about.
We don't have very much theory.